All right, let's get right to Bill Bratton. He's on the line, former New York Police Commissioner. Bill, there's so much to discuss. My goodness, where do you want to begin? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Michael.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
So you've got nearly 7,000 NYPD out sick, 1,900 test positive. How do you police in an era of coronavirus is the question.
Well, fortunately, New York City, unlike the majority of American cities, has a huge police force with 36,000 officers and almost 20,000 civilians. That the latest count was 6,974 out sick. 1,935 police officers have tested positive for the virus. Some of those are fortunately working through the illness. 62 of them are back on duty again. But the demands on the department have shifted dramatically. Crime is down dramatically, fortunately, with some exceptions. Auto theft, commercial burglaries, as anybody would anticipate, domestic violence issues with people shut in with each other that don't necessarily get along in the best of times. And the good news is that overall violent crime issue is down, but the burglary issue is one that they're watching closely. Something that's not really noted is Chief Monahan talked about it yesterday in the report he sent out, that the department on an average day now is having to have officers stay with 150 people that are basically dead on arrival. In other words, when the officers and EMTs respond, the person has already passed away. And in the protocols of the city, till a doctor comes out and confirms the death, an officer has to stand by with that family, with that deceased person, until the certification of death. So that's 150 officers, and right now the delay is 24 to 36 hours.
Whoa.
That's tough duty for the officer.
Yeah.
Tough duty for the family that has the deceased loved one in the room. Many of these people are in by themselves. But there's all these hidden stories in the sense of the demands, the psychological pressure. In my younger days as a young cop, that was the worst duty, standing by waiting for the medical examiner to come, because you're dealing with the grief of the family, but just the whole psychological impact of sitting there with that body. So there's just one of those hidden stories that Chief Monahan identified yesterday as part of what the department is dealing with.
Hey, Bill, what do you make of the call coming from some journalists and a lot of progressives who believe in jail reform, that the coronavirus spreads quickly through jails, so we should start releasing as many inmates as possible?
Well, unfortunately, there were some in that group, the Criminal Justice Reform Advocacy Group, that really see this virus as an opportunity to advance their goals and have been aggressively pursuing it. And we're aggressively pursuing it in the recent criminal justice reform initiative by the legislature, trying to reform the miserable legislation they passed last year. And as so often happens up in Albany, they once again made a mess out of it. So the idea of letting people out of jail, understandable, the idea of trying to reduce some of the crowding pressure. But in city jails, you got Rikers, which housed 22,000 inmates at one time with 10,000 corrections officers, now has less than 5,000 with still about 9,000 corrections officers. A lot of empty buildings there. Instead of putting them back into homes where oftentimes they're accused of domestic violence, back in the neighborhoods where they're committing their crimes, basically, I think you could have effectively taken some of those vacant jails, made them into appropriate housing so you could separate the prisoners. You still have almost two guards for every prison on Rikers. So, again, I'm not supportive of this effort, particularly as it relates to New York City. And maybe I don't know enough about the rest of the state, but the state prison population is also down dramatically. That I think it might have been better to try to find alternatives where you would have kept them in appropriate circumstances, incarcerated, particularly for some of them, because there have been stories of some that are being let out that should not under any circumstances have been let out. But it's just part of the issues we're facing going forward, and oftentimes we're learning as we go, if you will.
Well, I'm with Bill Bratton, former NYPD commissioner, and Bill, you alluded to it, and you just glossed over it, but I'm sure you want to talk about it in depth. You talked about messy legislation in Albany. Are you referring to this bail reform?
Exactly. I'm sorry, I should have made that clear, that the legislature, there were many advocating that the original bill that they passed, actually it was a budget bill, they never even had public hearings, so it was a mess. And so the effort was made once again in the budgetary process where there would be no public hearings and minimal input from those most affected by it, the DAs and the police. Well, they've just evidently passed that and have made a bad situation. Some instances tweaked it a little better, but other incidents have really not improved it at all. And the DAs have come out with great concern about what has passed. And the issue of greatest concern is that, once again, they do not allow the judges in this state to take into account the issue of public danger that these people may, in fact, be capable of doing while they're basically released from custody. And I haven't seen the full report on what they have, in fact, passed, but just what the news media is reporting. Once again, as much as I criticize the original bail reform, well-intended with phenomenal consequences, this one here just seems to me more of the same. Why not have public hearings on this darn thing? What are they so afraid of? And what they are afraid of is basically the garbage that they're creating would be sorted out. And one, there would also definitely be authorship by individual legislators who are pushing for this. So by doing it in a budget process, they all have cover. And so if you're so supportive of it, get out there and testify why you're supportive of it. But let those who are opposed to it also have a voice in the process. That's what the legislative process is for. In 2 years running now, we have effectively sought to hide one of the most significant pieces of legislative action in the last 50 years. What are they so afraid of? What they're afraid of is the mess that they've made.
Hey, Bill, what do you think of the proposal out there to older inmates who are really at risk of contracting the coronavirus and possibly dying from it? What about these proposals to release older inmates who, you know, I don't know who determines this, but maybe they don't pose a threat to society anymore because they're in their 70s or their 80s?
Let me be very clear. I and many of my colleagues in law enforcement, chiefs, commissioners, district attorneys, are not opposed to criminal justice reform and reduction of people in prison. We've been doing it for 20 years. New York City, over the last 20 years, has reduced from 22,000 a day to less than 5,000. New York State Prison, which is fueled largely by New York City, is down almost 50%. We have not been opposed to it. The idea, however, is to do it in a way in which you're making sure that the right people are being let out. And in some instances, that would certainly be the elderly who no longer basically are a danger. There are many others also who were during the very bad days of the 80s, early 90s, who may have been sentenced under the Rockefeller drug laws, for example. In some states, they had three strikes and you're out. We have come to understand that that well-intended effort had phenomenal unintended consequences. A lot of those consequences also had significant impact on minority communities. So not opposed to it, but the idea is you study this stuff, you debate it, you discuss it, you plan for it, so that when these people do get out of jail, they have a place to go, they are monitored, they are supervised, they are educated, they are job trained. We're not doing a lot of that, unfortunately, for a lot of these people. And in the coming era of the virus, in some respects, that we may be compounding it.
Well, Bill Bratton, always a pleasure. We enjoy your expertise. Hope you come back soon, former police commissioner. Thanks, Bill.
All the best.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, stay safe.